You may not have seen it, but Al was jumping for joy that he got all those names right. Oop, I'm not as tall as Al. When teaching catechism, I am often asked why we need to have baptism. What I tell them is that God knows who we are and what we need. We all need milestones. It is why we have birthday parties and wedding ceremonies, retirement parties and graduations. We need those markers in our lives where we can point to them and say that this marks the point in my life when I started a new chapter. But there's another piece to the puzzle of why we have baptism, and that is the public nature of the ceremony. I don't know about you, but when I say something in public, it takes on a different meaning than when I just say it to myself. There is a power in saying words in front of family and friends. God knows that we need this as well. It's also why we have a testimony as part of the baptism ceremony. There's something that happens inside of us when we express publicly what it means to give our lives to Jesus. Then there are the questions that we are asked just before getting baptized. When Katie and I were getting married, and the minister asked that question, to which I needed to say, I do, there was a power to that I do that I did not realize would be there before saying it out loud. But there's something else that God knows that we all need. We need moments where we can recovenant with Him. Moments when we are given the opportunity to review the status of our relationship with Jesus and to see if it needs some fine-tuning or touch-ups, which is one of the reasons why we have communion. It is our chance to renew our covenant with the one who gave himself for us, that we could be forgiven of everything. When Jesus first introduced communion to his disciples, he explained to them what was going to happen, even though they were still puzzled about what he was talking about. Jesus told them that he was shedding blood for them and giving his body for them. The sacrifice was to be how Jesus would bring salvation to the world. That was his side of the covenant. But then there's our side of the covenant. What we bring to the covenant is faith. We bring ourselves and our willingness to give ourselves over to Jesus. We bring a desire to do the will of our Father in heaven. However, sometimes we falter in that desire. We wander off the path that we want to be on and take another one instead. We try to build up our own little kingdom where we can rule, where we can be in control. We can sometimes forget the covenant we have made with the one who paid for us with his own life. But then we take communion, and we are reminded of that moment when we stood before our family and friends and stated our desire to follow Jesus. We are reminded of what it took for us to be able to do that. We are reminded of all the blessings we have received because we made that decision. In that moment, we are given the opportunity to renew our covenant with Jesus, to once again ask for forgiveness, to once again ask for the strength to put our own will to the side and to strive to bring our will in line with the will of God, to once again seek the will of God, to seek the love of God, and to seek to share that love with everyone that we meet. And in that moment, we return to being in communion with God and with our sisters and brothers in Christ. So we've been given these symbols in the form of bread and wine. We've been given this moment in time that we call communion to restate our desire to walk with Jesus. It's not just a ceremony, but it's a renewing of our own testimonies. Each of us here had a testimony that we gave at our baptisms. But our testimonies have each grown. If each of us could stand up here now and speak of those testimonies, way better than what I'm doing right now. We all have had moments where we've been sure of our faith. We have had moments of doubt and fear. We've had moments when we felt called and moments when we felt alone. Each of our testimonies would have common elements, ups and downs, but each would also be unique. This time of communion is a time to recall when God has been with us, to remember times of struggle and how we came out the other side. For some of you, you're in that struggle right now, and it's difficult to consider that there is another side. Communion gives us that quiet moment in the midst of it all to seek the peace of Christ. So I'm going to give us some time before communion starts to renew our covenant. You will have some quiet time as we wait to partake of the bread and the wine, and I encourage you to review your testimony, to review what Jesus has done in your life, to think about your life and how it has been enriched by the faith that you have, to take the time to thank Jesus for what he has done in your life. Now, I recognize that not everyone here is at that point in their lives where they've made their choice to give their lives to Jesus. For some, this time of communion does not hold the same meaning as it does for others, and that what I have just said does not resonate with you. So we offer this time of quiet for you to rest, and if possible, to listen. For it is our firm belief that Jesus is waiting to meet with you where you are. So let us pray. Jesus, Lord of all creation, we come to you at this time with thanksgiving. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made on the cross. We thank you that because of what you did, we can stand in the presence of God our Father. We thank you that because of what you did, we have the Holy Spirit to walk with us every moment of every day. We thank you that you guide us and show us the way, that you love us and care for us like no one else can. We thank you that you have given us this congregation who lifts us up, corrects us when necessary, encourages us, and builds us up. We thank you that we are able to share your love with others. Jesus, we thank you for this ceremony of communion. We thank you that we have this opportunity to renew our covenant with you. Jesus, we know that we have not always held to the covenant we made with you, which was to give ourselves over to you completely. We know that we hold pieces of ourselves back from you. We know that we do not always try to walk in your will, but rather to put ourselves before you. For this, we ask your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, you have walked beside each of us, laughing with us and crying with us. You have loved us with all your heart, and we ask for the ability to do the same with you and with those we meet along the pathways of life. You have lifted us up when we were weak. You have had patience with us when we thought we were strong enough to go it alone. You have been waiting for us to return when we have gone our own way. You have rejoiced when we have come back to you. There is no time that you have left us, even though we may have turned our back on you. For that, we thank you with all of our hearts. As we take this communion, we ask that you show us how much you love us, that you reveal to us your desire for nothing but the best for us, that you show us what your will is for each of us and for us as a community. We ask to be truly in communion with you and your Holy Spirit and with each other at this time. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Mark writes that